Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. Boy, today I'm kind of following Doug's show on You Can Either Be Glad or Get Mad for Science for Life. If you don't listen to the show prior to mine on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, I encourage you to do so. Doug has a lot of wonderful guests on his show, and today follows exactly what my show topic is all about. It's attitude is everything. And today I'm going to be talking about how, as a medical intuitive, I understand that emotions can trigger a lot of the chemical reactions that happen in the body that could leave us susceptible to wear and tear or break down the immune system or weaken it or actually break down the body as a whole. But one of the things I've also found as a medical intuitive is that while the emotions create the chemical reaction in the body, it's the attitudes that perpetuate that chemical reaction that really are the things that lead to that ultimate chronicness around aches and pains or illnesses or wear the body down. So I'm going to be talking about the role of attitudes, not only in our health, but just kind of our physical health, but our mental health as well. I'm also taking your calls today and sharing my medical intuitive skills, another part of the show that I always enjoy doing. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you want to talk about attitudes and what can we do to change them, I'm going to be offering some suggestions, but I'd love to hear from you on that also. So you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is supposed to be good internationally. You can try that one, both U.S., Canada, international. If for any reason you can't get through to that one, you can call me at 425-644-5620. Also wanted to invite you to my Your Health teleclass that's coming up on March 18th. That's a week from tomorrow at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It is a free teleclass, and on this month, I'm going to be discussing chronic pain. The class itself is 60 minutes long, but I always stay afterwards on the line, continue to record the process, the class itself, and then at that point in time, I take Q&As just like I do on my show. So it's another chance for you to not only learn about different illnesses, and I share the kind of what I call the comprehensive, complete picture of the illness. I look at it from what the general description of it is. I look at it from a psychological standpoint, looking for the hidden meanings associated with it, the energetic analysis. What does it look like in the energy field? And people say to me, well, what difference does that make, Carol? Well, visualization is a very, very powerful healer. And if we can get a picture of where in our energy field this particular illness is impacting us and what it looks like, and maybe it looks like shreds in the field, or maybe it looks like a giant bubble or lumps and bumps or whatever, what it can do is it can give you the opportunity to go in, even if you don't see auras, go in and be able to visualize what that area looks like unhealthy, and then create visualizations that can help you heal it from the standpoint of being able to use it energetically. I also map the illness based in the chakra system, tie it to the endocrine glands, organs, and so forth in the body. And then I look at what role does your personality play in creating the potential or increasing the susceptibility to that particular illness. Then on top of all of that, I come in and I look at what is conventional medicine's approach to healing or dealing with this particular illness, and then a whole list of alternative therapies that work very, very well. So it's a very comprehensive class. And then following the class, within the 4 days after the class, I always post an audio download for purchase, and then also a printable PDF of the illness I'm dealing with. And what that does, I have a lot of people that are actually collecting these different reference sheets, as I call them, creating a binder. If you're a healer or a massage therapist, or you have these different modalities that you just want to know what is the illness from the surface all the way down to that neurological aspect of it, that's what this does. So again, I hope that you'll join me. It's March 18th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And then also to let you know, my last class was on arthritis. That was for the month of February. And I do have the audio download and the PDF posted to my website, www.arthritis.com. www.ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. Just go to my homepage in the upper left-hand side. You'll see this cute little box that's got earphones on it. Just click on that, and then that will lead you to a place to find out more information. And then if you're interested, you can just purchase it on PayPal. Not only do I enjoy teaching the classes, but I am loving the research that comes behind really understanding these illnesses. And if you have a suggestion of an illness that you would like me to cover in a teleclass, or for that matter on my radio show or on my new internet TV show on vibrantstv.com, we're still working some of the bugs out, but we're getting closer. So that's every Wednesday at 3:00 p.m. Pacific time. If you have a suggestion of an illness or something, just again, go to my website, go to the contact page, submit it to me, and then I will look forward to come in and to cover it and to do the research on it and be able to share it with you. So again, lots of good stuff. And thank you for being a part of helping me find the direction of what is of interest to you. All right. So let's look at attitudes. Webster's Dictionary defines attitudes as a settled opinion. I like that one a lot. Or a way of thinking. Absolutely. And a feeling or an emotion toward a thought or a fact. In one of my classes that I teach through the Ritberger Institute, The Effects of Emotions, Attitudes, and Beliefs on Our Health, I always share with my students that attitudes are really that foundation upon which we create our beliefs, our comfort zones, and our habits. And when they're created, we tend to serve those comfort zones, those attitudes, and it really colors the way that we look at life, how we interact with life, and then also how we interact with other people. Now, when we first create those attitudes, really in the importance of them is they help us in the discernment around how we feel about something. Again, it's that settled opinion. But what occurs is those attitudes, if they're not checked on a daily or a weekly basis, they become these habits and comfort zones. And then all of a sudden, they gain mastery over our thinking. And when they do that, they've changed the perception, again, not only that what we have in the outside world, but more importantly, the perception we have of ourselves. Attitudes are dispositions that color that perception. But more importantly, how do you fit in that perception? How do you fit in that world? That's when we start experiencing compromise. And as a medical intuitive, illness isn't because we had a strong emotional reaction to something. It's because of a pessimistic or a negative attitude that has become chronic that, again, wears the body down. They're formed by emotional reactions that we have toward people, life, objects, people, situations, experiences, and a lot of times our lifestyle. I always say to people, if your health isn't what you desire, then look at your lifestyle to see what you can change, because lifestyle really is the expression of those beliefs, those comfort zones, and those habits. And when it comes to attitudes, there's really only two. There's positive attitudes, and these are the stabilizers in our life, and they inspire us to positively desire to change and to change what's working, not working in our life. A positive attitude is that cheerful nature that is authentic. It's not that cheerful nature we put on in the morning because we have a day that it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through it? Positive attitudes are sincere. They're authentic. They are really heartfelt. And what they do is they create the energy and the around hope and happiness and joy and cheerfulness. And we increase our tolerance as well when we have that happy, joyful, patient, tolerant attitude. We just seem to let a lot of the things that would maybe cause us to really create a lot of inner angst, to be able to just kind of shed off our back, kind of like water off a duck's back. Negative attitudes, on the other hand, those are the things that really create those perceptions of the things that bug us. They create strong emotional reactions. Anytime you experience anger, there's something that you're thinking, doing, or saying that is compromising you. And if you can start right then by working with it, then it doesn't become an attitude where it becomes chronic, that emotion becomes chronic, and then we get a negative attitude or a pessimism around people or a situation. Attitudes as emotions do have an emotional charge to them. However, that charge isn't as strong as when we first attach that emotion to something. Say, for example, anger, when we first experience it, it can be explosive. But around the attitude, it's just a low-grade irritation, frustration, a low grade level of anger that makes us a little bit volatile in our temperament. And when something comes up, while we may not even be, you know, aware that it's tied to an attitude, all of a sudden we get this little inner irritation. And then the more it bubbles to the surface, then the more we come in and we actually start to experience it in the form of an attitude. And we really come in and realize, oh my gosh, look at how much this has colored my life. When we become mentally overwhelmed, a lot of things that occur, and tired, fatigue, sleep is very important. But it's kind of like that replay, that rumination that takes on in the mind. When we get to the place where that's what we're doing, then a lot of those negative emotions start to bubble to the surface. And they really, again, drain us of energy. They color our enthusiasm and drain us of wanting to be involved in things. And what they do is they'll eventually just wear the body down, eventually wear the immune system down, and now we're susceptible to viruses and bacterial infections. So one of the things I've found as a medical intuitive, that if we really want to change our attitudes, we could take a deep breath, take a little bit of time, a change of pace in our life, look at our life of what's working, what's not working. When we look at what's not working, let's go in and look for a negative attitude. A negative attitude is maybe you want to put together a relationship and you want it so much and it never seems to happen. So we want to change that. Go in and say, why don't these relationships come up? Asking the why question creates an emotional reaction. It brings those deep attitudes, maybe not worthy of being loved, or, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat worms. I remember that as a child, and so many children do. It brings those things to the surface. And the reason that our soul, kind of in that dynamics of it, brings it to the surface is so we will be able to step back and look at that belief that we have, that we're not worthy of being loved and nobody really likes us. And oh my gosh, I'm just not going to, ever find the relationship I'm looking for. Once we recognize that, we can change it, can't we? We can create a new visualization. We can visualize what the person is going to look like. We can visualize what we are going to be doing with that person, how we're going to enjoy their company. What are the things that are important to us that are important for them to enjoy? That changes that negative attitude, that negative belief through visualization, creates a positive attitude. That attitude leaves you, goes out in this beautiful, wonderful field of living consciousness, this energetic vibrational field. And it's just running out there as fast as it can and saying, so I'm looking for this person. Are you this person? Are you this person? And lo and behold, that person will become a part of our life. We may meet them in a grocery store or at a coffee shop, or maybe it's even somebody that we've known for a long time. We just didn't look below the surface of that person because we were so busy looking for somebody or something else. And then all of a sudden, we're just amazed. How did this happen? Well, it happened very simply that you got rid of that negative attitude and that emotional charge around lack. You created abundance. You put yourself in this beautiful place of empowerment using your visualization skills, and voila, it happens very, very quick. So again, when you come in and you're looking at emotions, just look at what's not working in your life and use that emotion as a barometer. But more importantly, dig below the surface of that emotion, and then you're going to be finding the attitude behind it. Well, I'm going to be talking more about attitudes and how they really do impact the health. And we hold most negative emotions in our digestive system and actually in the adrenals. It's that fight or flight part. So I'm going to be talking more about that in the next segment. But what I'd like to do right now is let's go in and talk to Diana on line one. Hi, Diana. How are you today?
Hi, Carol. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sweetie. Gosh, you know, you spell your name the same way my daughter does, and that's kind of an unusual spelling.
Hmm.
Little bit of trivia for you there as I did my research. How can I help you, hon?
Well, I recently had some blood tests, and I had high triglycerides.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about that. And also, I've been really, really tired. I think I have some negative emotion. Is that what you were talking about?
Well, you know what? I want to tell you, every one of us does. Sometimes it's not on the surface, but we all do. So, okay. So let's go. Let me go in. What I'm not, that you've shared with me, and thank you for the triglycerides. What I'm really wanting to do is I'm looking at your HDL. And I'm looking at where that is in the scale. They have a scale associated with the HDL. Do you happen to have your blood work with you?
That's high too.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you're at not LDL, not the bad cholesterol, but the HDL, that is when that is on the high side of the scale, meaning if you took low range to high range, midpoint, and then you went high, HDL means that your liver is working properly. It's doing what it needs to. It's producing the healthy cholesterol. That healthy cholesterol is helping with the red blood cell count, and it's helping with the overall functioning in the body. And when I look at that, if the triglycerides are high and the HDL is low, then it lets me know that we've got something going on in the liver. My sense is there's two things that I get immediately with why your triglycerides are high. Number one is the stress that you've been under. And if you, when I go in and, oh my gosh, honey, you know, the fact that you're still standing and you get out of bed during the day for your last 3 months, I mean, I think I ought to give you gold stars instead of saying to you, there's something wrong. Because when I touch you energetically, I mean, you are spinning so many plates. You have so many major decisions it feels like you're looking at in your life. And I mean, they're life-changing decisions. And while they may not be, you know, changing from a giant move, which it feels like that might be one of them, there's so much that you're saying, you know, I just need to get this service to the surface. And one of the things I kept saying yesterday in the reading that I'm feeling, readings that I'm feeling about you too, is it's next, move on, next, move on. You are literally, literally bringing it up to the surface, literally working with it, dealing with it, spinning it, getting rid of it. That's a lot of stress and so forth. So triglycerides and LDL in the liver are tied many times to the stress level. While most doctors don't acknowledge that and many may not be aware of it, that's the number one thing. Number two is your food. You've got a couple of food allergies that feel like they're beginning to form. And what that means is that the foods that you're eating are creating an irritation, and that can, the body's not metabolizing it the way it needs to. You're not getting the usage. So one of the things that you might want to go in and look at is go in and really evaluate your diet. And what can you do right now to take and make a dramatic change in your diet and give it 3 months and then go and get another blood test and see where your triglycerides are? And my sense is that you'll start to see the HDL increase, the triglycerides to be able to lower. Whenever we have the triglyceride level that at that point, doctors will want to look at putting you on a statin of some kind.
Yeah, that's what they did.
And so what I, and you know, for some people, statins work. I'm not one that's anti-medicine, but one of the things that I can tell you is that anybody, you and anybody that's going to go on statins, you really want to know what you're working with, what is going to be any kind of side effects, what exactly are the doctors looking to do. And sometimes if it isn't dangerously high, you can go back to your doctor and you can say, listen, I'm going to do these lifestyle changes, diet changes, and so forth. And then I want to come back, retest. Let's see where we are at that point in time. I will come in and I'll talk to you about some of these other things. And one of the reasons with statins actually can create a muscle weakness, and so much of the physical body, there's over 600 muscles in the body, so much of the body can literally be impacted by statins. From a muscular standpoint, we don't have the energy, we don't have the strength, and so forth. So that's some things you might want to go and do some work around the zone. You might want to look at Eat Right for your blood type. You might want to look at the Sonoma diet or Mediterranean diet. All of those diets would be diets that my body, that my sense is, would help you in lowering the triglyceride level. I spoke briefly about two food allergies, and I was kind of, while I was sharing information, I was going in and trying to get a better feel for these things. There's something that's occurred. It may have to do with hormone changes right now, but your metabolism is changing and it's slowing down. And one of the things is that when you eat any foods that are white, that aren't cultured, such as yogurt or cottage cheese or anything like that, which, by the way, are you aware that you are becoming lactose intolerant?
Yeah, sometimes I think that.
Yeah, you are. It's not, I can't say to you that you are, but you might want to really watch the things that you, that are dairy products, especially cow products. And you might look for other things that you could do that could give you some of the, you know, the white, like, maybe Greek yogurt, or, you might want to look at sheep's milk or something like that. My sense is that that would be able to help you as well. Then the other thing is that you, the foods that you're eating that are white, that have, you want to go for complex carbohydrates. For some reason, the simple carbohydrates are spiking your glycemic index too much. You're not digesting. You're not metabolizing. You're not assimilating, and you're not eliminating the way that you need. So you might just want to look at a diet change for a month or two and 3 months if you can tolerate it, see if that can make a difference. My sense is just something like that, and eliminating a couple of those allergens or watching them will be able to help you tremendously.
Mm-hmm. I've gained a lot of weight in the last.
Yeah, that's that hormone part, sweetie. It's that's that combination that happens with us as women when we really start, you know, the hormonal part of us, excuse me, starts bouncing all over, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen? Is estrogen going to go away completely? Is progesterone going to run our lives? And then all of a sudden it's like, whoops, no progesterone, no testosterone. What do we do? And the metabolism and the thyroid changes significantly at that time. You don't appear to have a thyroid issue, sweetie. It's just part of the hormones, and that changes the way the thyroid also works with the oxidation of glucose. So as our thyroid slows down, our liver doesn't cleanse as much, maybe because of the allergens that I picked up, then it isn't uncommon for women to see an increase in LDL or triglycerides. And then, honey, the work you're doing at a level of the change in the, you know, next move on syndrome that you're in right now, you've been under a lot of stress for the last 3 months. So look at things you can do naturally. And then I would encourage you to go back and talk to your doctor and say, listen, I want to try to do this naturally. Give me this amount of time. I'll do what I can, and then let's revisit it. You can do that unless it's so critical. What was your triglycerides? They felt like they weren't critical though.
They're like 240.
Yeah, no, critical starts running, you know, 400, 600. So
yeah,
you're
no.
Still, they are high, but, and that's why the doctor wants to jump on it. But again, I would go back and just say, you know, I just want to try this. And
could I treat it with acupuncture? I wanted to do something more holistic.
You absolutely. What you can do, acupuncture, really, the way that it'll keep the chi moving will keep you comfortable in your body. It'll help prevent some of the energy builds up and congestion that you get in your body. All of those things will be of great service to you. And then you might also want to ask your acupuncturist if there's any kind of herbs that would be able to help you and to do something like that. But for the fatigue aspect of it, I think it's tied to metabolism, hormonal changes, a thyroid that's just trying to figure out, should it be a slug or should it be running 110 miles an hour? And I think that's a lot of the fatigue. I didn't find anything in immune system or anything. So you might want to look at that. But acupuncture will just keep your chi running the way it needs to. And you'll feel lighter to me. And then the second part is everything you're doing in your life, you should start feeling lighter as well. I mean, you literally are cleaning closets, hon.
Yeah. You're the second person that told me they're surprised I get out of bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again,
Yeah, it doesn't feel like fibromyalgia. It doesn't feel like chronic fatigue. It's just a body that's been kind of in battle for a long time, and it's just weary. That's what it feels like to me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, well, why don't you give that a try? Talk to your doctor again. I'm always one that promotes that. It's not about negating doctors, but if you're going to and your doctor is the kind that says this is absolutely what you need to do, go back and say, this is the plan of action I'm going to take. I want to have 3-6 months. We'll come back for blood work. If at that point in time, all the things that I'm trying aren't working, then let's go back and revisit. Unless, of course, it's critical, and then doctors are usually a lot more aggressive. So. All right. Well, thank you so much, Diana. I sure do appreciate that. Let's go ahead and see if I can go ahead. You know what I think I'm going to do, Rebecca, because of the other callers when I'm looking at what they have to say. Let's go ahead, if you can, and let's jump into a commercial break. I'm going to be right back and talking more about how to change attitudes that aren't serving you and that are affecting your health. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The invariable mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common." Whoa. When I saw that, I thought, that really explains that when we develop a positive attitude or an attitude of gratitude, everything seems to change. So again, welcome back. Thanks for joining me. The topic of today's show is attitudes and how the attitude is everything, and how attitudes not only color the perception we have of ourselves, of our world, but how they can also impact the physical body. So a very interesting subject I found as a medical intuitive. Emotions trigger that fight or flight. It's attitudes that keeps that fight or flight going on and on and on, and can really be a lot of the source of the pessimistic or negative attitudes that can actually create the wear and tear in the body to create chronic illness. And one of the things that I always hear is that, you know, gosh, Carol, I'm a positive person and I have all of these wonderful people in my life, and I have all these things and I'm really doing everything right. You know, why am I still getting sick? Well, I always say to them, you know, this isn't about being punished. It's not like our body is in there just waiting for us for the right time to be able to punish us by getting sick. The reality is if we really all stepped back and looked deep within our psychological coffers, as I call it, we go in deep inside and we look at that part. Yes, there's a lot of things that we change in our life that have positive emotions to it. But you know, so much of what happens in the physical body, I found as a medical intuitive, in the future is what occurs from the time of birth to 13. And when we get so busy living our life as adults, we forget about those underlying attitudes that maybe colored our perception of ourselves and have some pessimism around it. So again, when those bubble to the surface and so forth, it isn't again that you're being punished. What it says is that it just needs to come to the surface for you to look at it. What do you want to deal with it? Positive attitudes, keep checking them off. Keep changing negative to positive when they come to the surface. Don't go, oh man, bummer, what happened there? Go back in and say, what can I do? What can I do to change this? What is the underlying impetus behind it. So again, it isn't about blaming yourself. That's one of the things I'm really so adamant about in the work that I do when I share the psychological aspects of anything. This isn't about blaming yourself. At the birth to 13, we are so emotionally vulnerable and impressionable with other people's opinions. And a lot of times we're not even aware of some of the beliefs or the attitudes or the core themes or the thoughts that we have until one day it surfaces, maybe in the form of an ache and pain or an illness. And illness is a great equalizer. It's a great teacher. It basically says, stop. Look around. Everything that you thought was important is not important. And now what we want to do is let's get to the source of this. Let's go in and make the changes at the very source of it. And then we can really have the good health that we're looking for and the positive attitude. So again, very, very good questions that I get. I also want to let you know that I just posted 3 Light of the Body classes and 3 evening of readings for the spring. And I'd like to invite you to go to my events page on www.ritberger.com to find out more about the Light of the Body. I just got through last weekend teaching it at a hospital, and actually my attendees were doctors, nurses, and psychologists. It was a fabulous reception from the medical arena. They wanted to, first of all, learn a lot about themselves, but also what is an aura and what are chakras? And so many of the nurses were so already familiar, but the doctors weren't. In fact, I had doctors lining up to go to lunch with me to be able to learn more about it in between the class. But most importantly, they wanted to talk about themselves and why do they have the shoulder pain or the bronchitis or the different things? What can their aura tell them about themselves? So if you're interested in auras or chakras or the role of personality and how it affects all of those things, then the Light of the Body is the class for you. And then my evening of readings are a group of people that just basically, I just spend the entire 2 hours, 2.5 hours talking to people and sharing my medical intuitive skills. It's a chance for us to see each other face to face. I always love that, as well as the phone and radio and so forth. The end of March, I'm going to be in Southern California. May 1st and 2nd, I'm going to be in Rutland, Vermont. And then May 22nd and 23rd, I'm going to be in Northern California. Again, you can find information about the classes and the evening of readings on my website, www.ritberger.com. So very quickly, if your life and your health isn't what you want to be, then there is something that needs to change. It is literally that simple. Now you can change a little bit that'll have a big effect, or you can change a lot that'll have a big effect. But what it is that negative attitudes are really bringing to the surface. We need to change something. Illness is compromise. Negative emotions, negative attitudes create the compromise. You know, these subtle changes around attitude, visualization is really a very, very powerful tool when it comes to changing attitudes. And, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money, and it doesn't require that we move, and it doesn't require that we always leave a job, and it doesn't require that we have years of therapy. It's just literally going in and using the power of the mind and visualization to not be able to create what we don't want. I always tell people, when it comes to changing negative attitudes, don't focus on what you don't want. Focus on what you want. Create a visual image of what do you look like when you reach your destination, and what will you feel like, and how can you see yourself laughing and joyful, and can you see yourself loving and doing what you're doing and passionate about what you're doing? Positive emotions, and voila, just like that, it will literally change the attitude from negative to positive. And as a result, all the emotions and the negative thoughts all of a sudden just kind of vaporize, and they basically become no longer a part of your thinking. So when you come in and visualizing, anytime you want to do it, you have to hold that vision for long enough for your picture, your mind to literally get a clear picture of it, because it's like that right brain talking to the left brain. And then again, feel all the emotions. Another way to develop attitudes is to focus on what you want, versus what you don't want. I talked about that a little bit. Both of those visualization is a wonderful tool. Affirmations work well when it comes to changing our self-talk or really working at changing thoughts. But boy, when it comes to the actual changing of an attitude, you can't go wrong with a good visualization. All right, let's go ahead and jump in. I want to finish off the show taking calls. Let's take Marla. Hi, Marla. How are you today?
Hi. How are you, Carol?
I am fine, hon. Thanks for calling me. How can I help you?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much for everything you do. You are really so amazing.
Oh, I'm going to have you call me every day, honey, when I forget and I get in that negative attitude, like, what am I doing? You know,
I'll do it.
But anyway, okay, you got it. We're on. Thanks for the kind words, sweetie. I really appreciate that. So how can I help you?
I'm calling because of my recurring cold sores. I was wondering what attitudes might can play a part in that. It used to be just once a year. And then in the last month, I had two of them. And I'm just wondering, my natural remedies usually work pretty well for them, but I've just been having a really hard time, and I'm wondering what's going on with me.
Well, the first thing I can tell you is that what you're dealing with is a herpes simplex. And herpes simplex is not like the zoster that's tied to chickenpox or anything, but herpes simplex seems to have outbreaks when our immune system starts to become fatigued or when our body becomes too acidic. So one of the things that you can do is look at the things that you're thinking are the acidic thoughts. And I have to say this with great love on New York, you have been absolutely buried by the weather this year. You're an outdoors type of gal. You enjoy the noise, the hustle, the bustle, and it feels like you feel real confined. You know, you feel like a very fast running racehorse that's been in its paddock too long, and it's just getting a little bit of cabin fever is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So you have, go ahead, sweet.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's like, whoa, I just want to walk the streets and do the things. So that's the first thing is that I go in and I find that you've got some cabin fever. I use the fever metaphor in that, the message that you sent me is because cold sores used to be called fever blisters. And one of the things is that you've got something, some impurities, something in your body that your body is just naturally trying to bring to the surface the way that it needs to, trying to get that infection, whatever it is, up to the surface so then it can be dealt with and it can be healed. So if you look at the herpes simplex, the sores, as that way, then what you'll do is you'll see, okay, there's something that's coming to the surface. The fact that they're around the mouth area lets me know that there's something inside that you need to say. And the first thing you need to say is that you need to love yourself. And I know you do, sweetie. Excuse me for saying it that way, but let me tell you why I did. You know you love yourself. You're a very happy, joyful person. I can feel that in your field. You're very optimistic overall. You just need to get out. You just like to do things. You like to experience. When I said around the mouth, there's something that needs to be said, that there's some negative attitudes there. You know what? I have to tell you that those attitudes are somebody else's putting words in your mouth. There's something somebody's saying to you that you're trying to swallow. You're trying to digest. You're trying to, you know, take them on as if your own. And I just want to take that other person by the cheeks, by the ears, and just say to them, back off. Just back off. I'm not saying get out of my life. I just want you to back off. I don't want to hear the yada yada. I don't want to hear the negativism. I don't want to hear all these things. You know, this is not who I am. Maybe this is who you are, but this is not who I am. I don't want to do this. And this person's irritating you, sweetie.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to find a way to say it. That's, you know, it's easy for me and my personality to say to them, just back off. But from mm-hmm. that standpoint, you have to find something that can come in and that can be said in a way that honors and respects who you are and that truth of who you are. This is mm-hmm. an old lingering issue that you've had from when you were a little girl, from the fact that it's easier to be seen than heard. And now you've mm-hmm. reached a point in your life, you don't want to be seen anymore. You're cute as a bug. I can just feel you. But what it is that you have a lot of important things to say. And it's like, listen, people. I want you to listen to what I'm having to say. So those are some of the things that I find that you can, that you can work with on an attitude standpoint. Stand in front of a mirror. I used to teach Dale Carnegie. Stand in front of a mirror and talk about the things that are important to you and build your confidence around being able to speak up and practice. Speak from your heart, sweetie. You're a heartfelt person. That's going to help you as well.
Okay.
And for the cold sores themselves, what you will want to do, look at alkalizing your body. One of the best things that you can do is orange fruits and vegetables, even vitamin C. Take it natural, not so much in the capsule, so your body will be able to utilize it. While it's a citric acid, it does metabolize as alkaline. It's going to help. It'll alkalize your body in a very short order. And then what you might want to do is a little pomegranate juice that feels like it could work, or even black cherry. All of those things are alkaline, and my sense is it's going to be able to help you with the herpes simplex.
Oh, great.
Well, good. So, oh. So you know who that person is that I'm talking about, right?
I do, definitely.
I just needed to check. So anyway, so, you know, go stand in front of a mirror and practice. It's really good. But thank you, and I can't wait for spring to come your way, all of you, so you can get out there, and especially you, sweetie, get out and start enjoying a lot of the outdoors that you do. You're just really an outdoors gal.
I really am. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. My pleasure. Hi, let's jump in with Jennifer. Jennifer from Colorado. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Good. What part of Colorado?
I'm in Arvada.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I see. I didn't know where it was. How can I help you, hon?
The reason I'm calling is I'm having some very unusual symptoms in my neck and shoulder, and it's very weak and painful, and it hasn't really been diagnosed, but it seems to be getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it came on you pretty quick, didn't it?
Well, yeah, in November it started to get pretty bad, and it did come on suddenly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been with me for a while, but it is increasing.
Okay. So what we have is we have two dynamics that are going on. The first thing is that we've got an inflammation of the nervous system, and the myelin sheathings on the nerves themselves are very inflamed. I actually have a couple of small little, and it's both left, right shoulder. I can pick this up. If you think of that nerve being encased with, say, like a plastic wrapping around it, or a rubber plastic wrapping. That's called a myelin sheathing. And when that sheathing becomes inflamed, it irritates those nerves and two things happen. It can create the chronicness of a pain. It can sometimes create maybe a burning or a tingling. It can also doesn't allow the nerves, the muscles themselves to be animated as much as they need to, meaning that the nerves don't have that reaction that they need from the brain to move here, to move there, and so forth. So what it does is it can cause the muscles to become weak. When I look at the myelin sheathing in the brachial plexus, which is just literally below where the neck and the shoulders come together, in that brachial plexus, those peripheral nerves, I actually have what looks like little tiny, tiny slices that are happening. Now, that's not a problem from the standpoint of main nerve damage, but it is that what comes from your cerebellum, your motor skills, that from the brain that comes into the nerves, it isn't getting where it needs to be, where it needs to go. So the first thing is that you want to look at things that can be able to manage the inflammation in the nerves itself. One of the things is just cool them down. You can use ice packs to be able to do that. It sends a message to the brain to release a natural endorphin that is about 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. That would be able to help you. The other thing is you want to go in and look at what you can do to strengthen your immune system that will cause the inflammation to quell. That's something else that you can do, and that can help you as well. What have the doctors come up with? There's one doctor, it feels like, said something to you that was a little bit of alarming, but I want to hear what it was. Can you tell me that, please?
Well, I've been to several doctors, and you know, some say it's coming from the brain. Others, you know, say the doctor thought it was MD.
It is not MD. How about that? I shouldn't go out on a limb that way, but I'm going to. It is not.
Okay.
But what I can tell you is that, yes, it is part of the brain. It's part of the cerebellum. That cerebellum is where all the ganglion nerves and all of the nerves throughout the entire body start at the top of the brainstem and the cerebellum. It's tied to motor skills. But my sense is, sweetie, is the brain itself is creating the message. I want the right arm to raise. I want the wrist to rotate. I want the fingers to be able to move. I can find it in the same side on the other arm and so forth. So the message in the brain is being created the way it needs to. It's just as it drops down that spinal column into that spinal cord and drops down and hits that brachial plexus. And you might want to go get an anatomy book or find something. Just see where that is and all the different peripheral nerves that are in there that animate all the upper torso, basically from the right underneath the sternum up, honey, all the way up into the head, the face, the everything else, is that brachial plexus, I've got irritation in the nerves there. That's causing the muscles to not get the message they need, and as a result, they're starting to become sluggish and beginning some of the atrophy aspect. That's why the doctor went the direction that he did because of the fact of the muscle weakness, the way that it's being experienced. The second aspect of it is that I can go in and I can go to cervical vertebrae 5 and thoracic vertebrae 1, which is just below this brachial plexus. And I've got an old injury there, hon.
And is that in the T1 or the C5?
The C5 T1, where those two vertebrae meet, where the thoracic spine comes into the cervical spine, right there, there's an old injury that we have. You may have fallen off of a bicycle. It feels like how you fail is that you didn't fall directly back on your head, but it's like you fell, like you were sitting on a bike and you fell over to the right side, torque the spine right there. I've got some old, energy residue of a injury that is there. And that can take, so if I've got the brachial plexus not getting the message to the nerves the way they need, to the muscles the way they need, and I have this old injury, the energy is going to ball up there, and it's just going to compress. Think of it as being a ball that should be squishy, but it's not. It's like a hard ball. That's what I'm looking at. Have you tried acupuncture?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That really hasn't helped.
Okay. I'm going in. I really want to see where I can send you. Have you tried craniosacral therapy?
I did a long time ago, but that was for a different issue. In the lower back. I don't know if this is related.
Yes, it is. Actually, the lower back, honey, is the outcome of what happened in the vertebrae where I'm talking about.
Okay.
So, but one of the things, did you do a lot of research on MD?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that is inconsistent with that is that usually MD is associated with a body's inability, and I'm going to just give you a very brief part of it, the body's inability to be able to manufacture or to create enzymes that allow the muscles to be able to get the food source and the energy and so forth that they need. There's a lot more to it. But I don't find that you're lacking that enzyme aspect of it. I'm finding that your muscles still want to work. They're not, yes, they're atrophying because they're not getting the message, the neurological stimulus to make them move the way that they need to. But you might want to go in and see someone about, I would go back at least with acupuncture. Even if you don't feel like it's doing anything, it'll keep the chi moving. You might want to talk to someone with physical therapy. You might want to talk to a chiropractor to see if they can do any kind of non-force adjustment. We don't want to necessarily crack or move anything that way, but just get some of this tension that's built up that I'm picking up and so forth on it. But those are the things that I would look at doing and see if you can build that part up. The area that feels like it's being really impacted is not the trapezius muscle. It's those little mastoid muscles alongside the neck that hold the neck upright or hold it to the point where, meaning that it doesn't tip forward or anything. So have you talked to a neurologist? Is that one of the doctors you've worked with?
Yes.
Okay.
They ran MRI and they didn't seem too concerned. Nothing really came up.
No. No. They were looking for most likely tumors. That's usually what they look for. Any kind of growth within the brainstem itself and everything. And I'm not picking that up either, sweetie. The one thing is that, and I can feel it, I have to say it, is don't give up hope on this. Keep doing what you know you can do and keep those muscles moving the best you can. Don't allow them while you're getting rid of this inflammation in the nerves. That's what it really feels like the most to me, is that this myelin sheathing, we've got to, you know, get this reversed. Those little slices that I picked up can be reversed. They can be healed. They're not where we're actually having damage, such if we had muscular dystrophy or some of the other things.
Okay.
So I would go in and, look at some of those. I just went in. And all of the other listeners, I want to thank you so much that are my callers that are on there for allowing me to take this time with Jennifer. I just want to be sure that I dot my I's and cross my T's with everything, sweetie, so you can hang up from this call and have a sense that this is not... it just isn't the MD aspect, the energy around it. While I'm talking, Jennifer, I'm looking at family history. I'm looking at biological predisposition for Parkinson's, ALS, any of those different things. I can't find any biological predisposition that would make sense of this. It came on so suddenly overall, sweetie. I know you have back problems. You certainly told me that. But I just keep coming up that we just need to find out, we just need to look at the inflammation and we need to keep those muscles moving as best you can. I think that's going to be the best thing is. Are you working with a physical therapist?
No.
Okay. You might want to look at that, sweetie, and just keep doing that. And then also, you know, keep the head up, watch the spine, the neck, look at your pillow, a couple things like that. But, thank you for allowing me. You, Jennifer, allowing me so much time, honey, to go in and to explore you at the depths that I did. You were wonderfully open to me to be able to do that. But I do say in all sincerity, don't give up hope. And the one diagnosis that I picked up or that maybe diagnosis is not accurate, sweetie.
It's not accurate?
It is not.
Okay. Okay, well, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So anyway, and the doctor that's out there going, what the heck is this lady doing? Sometimes I just have to be able to do this. It's not that they're, you know, wrong or bad. They're looking at symptoms. But in this case, I can't go along with that when I can't find a lot of the things that go along with it.
Right. Okay.
Well, right. Thank you very much. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining me today. Again, please do join me for my teleclass next Thursday, March 18th. And then also, if you want to come and spend some up close and personal time with me, Southern California, Rutland, Vermont, and then also in Northern California, I would love to be able to spend some time, whether it's doing readings with you on that one-to-one where we're actually in person, or whether it's working with you in a class. I do try to keep my classes small and simple. size so we can have a lot of one-on-one. That's for me, but more importantly, I hope that it's for you as well. So again, if you want to listen to this show or any of my shows, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Go to my archives and you can listen to all the shows that I've been doing on contacttalkradio.com. Thank you very much. Join me next week. I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.